Hi everyone, and welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 385. Any feedback or questions, please email Rabbi Yismach at take10fortorah.org. And of course, please share. So, these week's parashios are dealing with Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, we know, was Avraham HaIvri. Avraham is labeled as this Ivri. In the Medrash, we have different opinions about why it's called an Ivri. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemi, Rabbanan, Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol HaOlam Kulo Me'Ever Echad, V'Hu Me'Ever Echad. Everybody else was on one side, and he was on the other. So generally, we understand that to mean that refers to Avraham's theological innovations. Avraham figured something out that nobody else had. He figured out that there is one God. He figured out that pagan ritual and these pagan practices that had been adopted by the entire world in his time were inappropriate and wrong. And so he discovers this, and he is one against many. There's another medrash that tells us that Ela toldos shemayim va'aretz behi baram, that these are the toldos, the offspring of the shemayim and the aretz, the describing creation of the world, behi baram, when the world was created. And the medrash points out behi baram are the same letters as Avraham, and so to imply that bezchuso shel Avraham, the whole world is created in the merit of Avraham. Beautiful idea that this lone maverick, Avraham, is not only the person who is on one side where everybody else is on the other side, and he discovers something which is so critical, but that discovery was so critical indeed that it's as if the world is created on his behalf. Like the unexamined life is not worth living, so the unexamined world is not worth creating, and so Avraham is the reason that it's all there, or people like Avraham are the reason that it's all there. Okay, so generally, when we refer to Avraham, we think about his theological contribution. But what I'd like to talk about in the next 8 minutes is that maybe there's something else to this, and another way to understand Avraham's life, and maybe they actually complement each other. So there's a Mishnah Maseches Avos. The Mishnah says, Kol mishayesh biyado shlosha dvarim halalu mitamidiv shel Avraham Avinu, shlosha dvarim acherim mitamidiv shel Bilam HaRasha. Anybody who has the following three features, the following three traits, is considered to be of the students of Avraham. And one who has another three traits, or the opposite of those first three traits, are like the students of Bilam HaRasha, the evil Bilam. What are the three traits? So the Mishnah continues, Ayin Tova, a good eye, Ruach Nemucha, a humble spirit, and Nefesh Shefala, a reserved nature. And we'll describe in a moment what those three things are. But if you have those three things, you are considered to be a Talmud student of Avraham, in the Avraham camp. And if you have the opposite of those traits, you are considered to be in the camp or a student of Bilam HaRasha. Okay, so that's what the Mishnah says, the beginning half of the Mishnah. The second half of that Mishnah talks about the reward for what it's like and what happens to you if you're a student of Avraham versus the student of Bilam, etc. Okay, so it's interesting, first of all, is that why is it that you're considered to be the student of Avraham? Shouldn't we be considered the students of Moshe Rabbeinu? Wouldn't Moshe be more of a, you know, yin and yang against Bilam? Bilam and Moshe were contemporaries. It was Bilam versus Moshe. Moshe is referred to as Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe our teacher. So if we are going to be a student of somebody, wouldn't it be Moshe? So the Tiferes Yisrael, commenting on this Mishnah, says, as a matter of fact, no. It refers to Mitamidav Shel Avraham Avinu Afilu Hu Akum. Even if a person is not Jewish, Al Kaponim Hu Mitamidav Avraham Avinu Alav Shalom, you could still be of the students of Avraham, Shalimi l'chol b'nei olam das Elokim u'midos yashrus, that he was able to teach das Elokim, the understanding of God, the theology. Then he says something else, u'midos yashrus, and also good, appropriate, straight midos. U'mihai taima lo nokat Tana Talmidei Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom, and that's why it did not actually refer to the students of Moshe, the Talmidei Moshe Rabbeinu Tzrichim L'Chaim Kol HaTorah. Because to be a student of Moshe, what do you got to do? To be a student of Moshe, you actually have to observe the whole Torah. That's what Moshe taught. Moshe Rabbeinu taught us the Torah. To be a student of Moshe requires a lot. To be a student of Avraham, that's something, which is a title, which is available to anybody in the world, because anybody in the world can learn the lessons of Avraham, can learn, of course, the theological lessons of Avraham, of monotheism, ethical monotheism, but also of ethics. The ability to teach the entire world is important. Now, these three midos are generally understood as Ayin Tova, Ruach Nemucha, Nefesh Shefala. Ayin Tova means a good eye, and most understand this to mean I'm able to look at my friend, and I'm able to be happy in their success. I don't feel a twang of jealousy. I don't feel badly when a good thing happens to this other person. I feel very good for them because I'm not jealous of them. I'm truly happy for their success. Ruach Nemucha refers to a person who is humble. There's humility. I don't have gaiva. I don't have arrogance. And the third is Nefesh Shefala, and that refers to a person who is reserved nature, and they're able to control their taiva. They're able to control their desire. They don't need everything of everything. They're able to just consist of having, you know, things in moderation. They don't need to fulfill every desire that they might have at any moment. So that's the classic understanding that most of the Rishonim have of Ayin Tova, Ruach Nemucha, Nefesh Shefala. I don't want to discuss how Bilam did not have these things, because he's the exemplar of somebody who doesn't have these traits. And the Rishonim point to different stories, different events in the life of Avraham. The Avos Reb Nasson goes through this in detail as well. He had Ayin Tova. He was able to give his guests a tremendous amount of food. He had no problem with that. He had the Ruach Nemucha. He was very humble. Anochi Ofar Va'efer. I am dust and ash. He gave a toshav anochi imachem, even though he technically had the future of Eretz Yisrael. He referred to himself as a ger and a toshav in next week's parasha. And then finally, Ruach Shefala, his taiva was under control, his desire was under control. We see that from the story of Sarah and how he lived his life with Sarah. So these are the three traits that Avraham had to teach the world. Now it's interesting because Avraham is usually set as the character which is the reason that Sefer Bereishis is referred to by the name Sefer HaYashar. The Netziv, we spoke about this in a different 10, the Sefer HaYashar is the title that Chazal give the book of Bereishis. The Netziv, in his introduction to Sefer Bereishis, says the reason this book is called Sefer HaYashar, he says a lot, but he says the reason is because the Avos had a particular way of dealing with the outside world. They were very kind, they were very thoughtful, they were very kind, they were very thoughtful, they were very respectful to the people around them, and that's something which we have to learn. That's true Yashrus. That's what it means to be straight. Obviously, Avraham is the one who begins this process. Yitzchak and Yaakov continue it thereafter, but it's really interesting that all of Sefer Bereishis is really just as much about this Midah of Avraham as it is about the Midah of Avraham relating to his discovery of theology. But I want to make the point a little sharper. There's a Mishnah Maseches Avos. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Eliezer HaKapar Omer, Rabbi Eliezer HaKapar says that three things, kinah, taiva, and kavod, jealousy, and desire, and honor, a need for honor, motzien es ha'adam min ha'olam, remove a person from the world. Now that's a very interesting expression. It removes a person from the world. I assume that's bad, but it's not clear at all. So Rav Dessler, in his Michta Melio, has a beautiful essay, and in it he asks a very basic question. He says, why is it that so many people have such a hard time in life? Why is it that you would assume God, who's a good God, who wants good for his creatures, why would it be that things would be so tough? He says, Ma zeh asa kadosh baruch hu shebara olam gadol l'man she'akol, mamash hakol. How could it be that God creates a world where all people, yisbalu bo yisurim raim gadolim, people are suffering, people are unhappy, there's always something that we're missing. To understand how to come up with a solution, we have to really understand the problem. And he says, the problem is as follows. Hakina, hataiva, v'hakovon, motzina sa'adam in olam. These three things, jealousy, desire, honor, they remove a person from the world. What he understands that to mean is, the world is a happy place. The world is an amazing place. But with jealousy, with desire, and with a need for honor, we remove ourselves from that happy place. Things are great until we allow those things to possess us and allow those things to distract us from the happy world that really exists. Now, I want to take that idea and remind you that kina, taiva, and kavod, as some Rishonim point out, are these three things that Avraham was able to control. Kina is jealousy, that's ayin tova, the ability to look at other people with a good positive eye. I'm okay with what you have. Taiva, that's nefesh shefala, the ability to have a moderate, a reserved nature, that I don't need all of these things, I don't run after all of these desires. And finally, kavod, that corresponds to ruach nemucha, that Avraham had a sense of self that did not require gaiva or arrogance. Now, these three midos, if it's true that Avraham, who is the first yashar, the one who makes all of creation and Sefer Bereishis worth it, maybe it's not only about his theological gifts. Maybe it's what he provided to the world in Midos. That's the idea over here. When it comes to Abraham changing the world, when it comes to Abraham being the person for which the world was created in his merit, the world could have been created. What that means is Abraham, not just what he discovered about God, what he discovered about interpersonal ethics. There's a happy world out there. And Abraham taught us how to live it by figuring out that kinah, taiva, and kavod, all of these things, the jealousy and the desire and the search for dignity through the eyes of others, that is what removes us from the happy world. And he discovered this theologically, interpersonally, and Abraham's gifts to the world were in all areas, not just what he believed, but how he behaved. Have a great day.